You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Southern Comfort by best-selling author L. Loren. Garrison Daniels is on the run after a failed attempt to murder his brother and overthrow his father as boss of the Enterprise faction. Knowing his days are numbered, why would he be in a mansion filled with his father's deadliest associates? One word, Melina. She was getting married, but knew Garrison could never resist disrupting the ceremony. Melina is Enterprise's top assassin, and the wedding, just a ruse to draw out her mark. She's always been Garrison's ride or die. What happens when the sentiment becomes reality? Southern Comfort, a smooth, sweet, and 100-proof interracial erotic romance. Part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Written by best-selling author L. Loren. Get your copy on Amazon today. Tennessee's Whiskey, the number one bestseller by L. Loren. Single father Weston Daniels has built a nice life for himself and his 5-year-old son. After escaping the nefarious family business, all he wants is the peace and quiet of the South and the occasional, no strings attached, roll in the hay. But destiny steps in when he meets an ebony beauty who bombards his bar. Grad student Patricia Woods is on the brink of homelessness and needs some quick cash to pay her overdue rent. A redneck bar named Whiskey's would do just the trick with its notorious bikers and flowing tips. However, when Weston's past catches up with him, he is faced with choosing between her life and the happiness he desires. Tennessee's Whiskey by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Jolly Rancher, an erotic Christmas romance by best-selling author Sierra London. Diesel Conrad. She says they're enemies, but his gut says she belongs to him. Granted, he has forgotten some insignificant things in his life, like his own name, but he is certain of two things. One, she wants him. Two, he has the equipment to give her a very merry sleigh ride. Amanda Messy Mandy Murphy. All she wanted was a winter white vacation. But her sister's ex roped her into selling his ranch before Christmas. This arrogant, too gorgeous man is her personal bah humbug, or at least until the accident. Now he's convinced she belongs to him. She's going to need a Christmas miracle, and fast. Jolly Rancher, the number one bestseller by Sierra London, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Get your copy on Amazon today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hello and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me on the Mahogany Says Show tonight. We have a great show for you. I'm your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we have another wonderful guest who has been on the show before and is always a great joy and a pleasure to have on here. Author L. Loren of the Lunchtime Chronicles, and she's a best-selling author who is like several times over, I think, what is it, like 7 or 8 now, Lauren?
Not me, but thank you.
Hey, you're a bestseller. That's all I know. Every time it comes out, boom, first day, bestseller. So seeing...
Let's hope that
continues
into the new year.
Yes, I see that. Every time you put out a book, same first day, bestseller. We're going to keep speaking that because you bam. So it's great to have you back. So we're going to talk today about your newest release, which is Southern Comfort for the Lunchtime Chronicles. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Lunchtime Chronicles, it has just wrapped up our season 3, and this was the second book in the Lunchtime Chronicles for this year, and it stars Garrison, who made an appearance in Tennessee's Whiskey, And that was one of my, that is actually my most popular book to date. And Garrison,
I believe it.
But Garrison was Whiskey's brother, who caused a lot of problems in that book. And people were mad at him, figured he needed a story of his own. So,
oh, yes.
I knew I had to write the Lushtown Chronicles, and I didn't have enough time to finish writing the sequel to Whiskey, so I gave you Garrison's story, and I let the reader in on why he did what he did in Tennessee's Whiskey, and
mm-hmm.
I tried to build up a rapport with him to let everybody fall in love with him just a little bit and to redeem him a little bit. And he has his own love story and his own issues going on in his book. So it is a fun, what I equate to a 2020 version of Bonnie and Clyde.
Nice.
Him and Melina, his love interest, they run wild in this book, and I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are a trip. I like it. That was just something else, because I like characters that are interesting and like want to do things that you're like, oh, wow, they really did that. But it makes it more interesting, you know, and that pulls something deep out of it, and just kind of like, you know, even the funny things, the funny parts, you know, it just kind of comes together. So, yeah, I was all prepared to hate Garrison because of Tennessee Whiskey. When I started reading Southern Comfort, I'm like, oh, okay. I can understand better now. So if you want to know what's going on, yes, he did. So definitely I would say grab a copy of Tennessee's Whiskey before you get into Southern Comfort so you can be caught up. And those two books are great together, so they complement each other. So, yeah, I definitely – yeah, you're right. That is your sequel. It really is.
That's just a little taste because Whiskey gets another story, so.
Yes, okay.
There's going to be another one coming up in the new year. No promises on a date yet, but I'm working on it.
I'm kind of like just trying to, my head is not in the hole trying to write right now. But
right?
it's just not. And I didn't play as many as you did, but yeah. I got a lot of stuff going on, so. But it's good that when you can still sit down, relax, and breathe, and enjoy what you do have, and still kind of promote. And then I get to promote other people's books, so I have fun with that.
That's what I did for the last half of this month, was just to relax and get away from writing for a minute, clear my head, and read other people's books so I can have fun.
Yes. I miss out a lot when you get busy, and you know there's things you want to read, and my TBR list just gets longer. Does that happen to you too?
Yes, my Kindle is so full of books that I wanted to read all year, and I'm like, I can't read right now. I'm writing, and you don't really want to read other people's writings when you're in the middle of
when
working.
Trying to write,
because you don't want that to seep in, but still. You want to read the book because you keep seeing them. I mean, we're just as excited as, you know, the normal readers to read other people's
exactly.
books. So it's like,
yeah, we really are.
I
want
to read this book so bad.
Sometimes it's hard to prioritize, isn't it? Just which one you want to read first.
Oh my God. And they all look good and they all keep popping up. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? Just been trying to do them as in order of how they appear on my Kindle, but it's not working.
So how many books
did
you have all total?
Sure.
All
together this year, or
all together?
Because I can't keep up with the rest of them. But this year I put out 12 stories. I was trying to do the 13th one, but the 13th one just was like, nope. Sit down somewhere, you're not doing it. And I didn't want to rush it and make it a bad story, so I was like, okay, I'll give it to them next year.
Well, that's pretty incredible. 12, it's like you were writing something new every month.
Or rather, you were
releasing them every month.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it's 12 books. So. Yes. Did you also have
the stories that included two anthologies that I did this year. Well, actually, three anthologies I did this year. Because two of them were for charity, and they were kind of last minute. And I was like, well, let me squeeze these in because I want to do that. And then the other ones were things that I was like, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that. And then I had the Lunchtime Chronicles and my Christmas story and a paranormal that I had to do for What's Upon a Villain. So I'm like, oh, boy.
I know, I was excited about that one. And your Christmas book, The Grinch's Secret Love, is that? Did I get that right?
Yes, Mr. Grinch's Secret Love.
Yes. Yeah, I have to read that one. I haven't read it yet, but I got to read that one now too. So I was like, oh yeah, all the albums come out for Christmas. I know. I was like, geez, the list continues. And I probably finish reading all my Christmas ones probably by February, maybe.
Just in time for Valentine's.
Just in time for Valentine's. Exactly. And here come the Valentine's books, right? So which one of your books, I know you shouldn't really say we have a favorite, but which one of your books that you put out this year is your favorite?
Oh, don't do that to me. I'll say, I guess I would have to say Tennessee Whiskey because I've had the most response from that book.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loves Tennessee Whiskey. I was like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting this. It was out of nowhere. Because I was like, wow, this just took off. It was so unexpected, and people are still reading it. And I've gotten, people contacting me through DMs and voicemails, and they're just so excited about that book. And I'm like, wow, okay. Well, I'm up to something with this one.
It was totally different from your other books. And I think it really kind of set you apart because, like, you have this range and stretch that you continue to challenge yourself and you rise above. It's just amazing to see that.
I definitely stretched with that one because I've always wanted to write, like, something dark, but it wasn't really dark. And I had to give it a little bit of a mafia twist in it, and it was fun to come up with that. I was like, oh, okay, well, let's go with this.
Yeah.
And I watched the characters come alive and tell me what they wanted. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're going here. Let's do it. And I had so much fun writing that book.
And I had fun reading it. I would say, yeah, that was probably my favorite one of yours this year. His last year was A Fat Ash Christmas. That one had me.
Oh,
yes, that was my favorite from last year. Because I really got into those two characters. So.
Cool. But, I found that the older man, I'm sorry, the older woman, younger man.
Older woman.
The readers are loving that this year. So I'm like, I might have to do another one of those for the end of the year. Next year.
Because you do find there's not quite as many. Yeah, as you think there would be, but some of them are really good.
Yeah, like I tried it in a couple of other stories, like short stories that I've had in the past, and they didn't really take off, but Fat Ash Christmas, people seem to like that one, so I was like, okay, well.
Oh, yes. I think it was the chemistry between the two characters. Cause sometimes, it can be a little... Depending on who the characters are and how they are together, if you can tell if they don't have that chemistry or if they're not picking up, even when you're writing it, it's just not coming together. But yours was like, they could have been the same age because he was just very, I guess, more mature.
Right.
Than most younger guys. And I think that's another reason why it was really, he wasn't so far left field. It's how some younger guys kind of tend to be. But I think if they have a good background, they're not. Yeah,
I don't like that because then, what's the pull? Why would the woman want to do that?
Yeah, what's the attraction?
They don't really have anything in common.
Yeah, because it's just been physical. Yes, exactly. Because other than the sex, there really isn't much to talk about. But if I'm gonna go that young, yeah, we're gonna have to have conversations. And you're gonna keep asking for 5 minutes. What do you mean? That's tiresome trying to explain. What does that word mean?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to explain what you mean. You talk about Bugs Bunny, and they're like, who?
Yes.
Who's that?
What are you talking about? But don't even know what jazz music is, or who does that?
Right.
No, here, or some songs with actual words. No, I'm being vague.
Don't get me started on that mumble rap, girl.
Yes, because I like rap music, but that dang, I can't do it. I really have to get on my son sometimes if he'll have something playing. I'm like, how can you listen to this? You don't even know what he's saying. He's talking about. I said, so what is he saying? Well, I don't know. Like, you said you knew.
Can't explain it.
He can't explain it. But it's just good. I was like, no. The only thing good about that song is probably the beat, maybe, if that, the music. But yeah.
But the funny thing is, I hear that in me when I hear the mumble rap. But then I flash back to when I was a teenager, and I'm like, oh man, I sound like my mom. Let me shut up.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, that music today, it's not real music. You know, oh my goodness. They used to say that to us when we were younger, but honestly, but hey, we could understand what, you know, Will Smith was saying, what Kumo D said, or, you know, well, at least when I came up with, you know,
yep.
Kumo D. And,
oh, we around, you know, the same age, girl.
Yeah, so Run DMC and LL,
yep.
Yeah, so we knew what they were saying, even NWA, but it's just, yeah. I know. I let the kids
only
listen. No, this is hip hop.
Yeah, only one I couldn't keep up with was Busta Rhymes because he said it too fast. I was like,
yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't catch that one.
That's true. That is true. There's always one in the bunch, right? And Flavor Flav.
Oh, God. Let's not go there. I love me some Busta, though.
Yeah, it's all right, y'all. At least in Bone Thugs and Harmony, that was a good one too. So.
Oh yeah.
So that's what I mean. It had real names, that, you know, things they were talking about, the streets of their life, or that. Wow.
And that's funny because when I was writing Southern Comfort, I had the 90s soundtrack on, you know, I was playing 90s music.
Oh,
and
cool.
getting into the writing of the book, so that helped me get through that. So I had Garrison listening to 90s music while I was writing.
Hey, that works. I do that sometimes when I want to change it up because I have different playlists and it goes by decade, because mm-hmm. what I was into during that decade.
Right.
So a lot of fun. SWV, I think, was probably one of my favorite girl groups during that time, besides
En Vogue.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And Escape, oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my kids actually know, so when if someone says that to them, they actually know what they're talking about, because I make them listen to it. And even my grandchildren, they know now, too.
Oh, wow.
Music.
My
that's when
favorite
kids.
Was Michael.
Yes.
Michael Jackson, that's my book.
That's another one. Before he went crazy.
Oh, wait a minute now. Don't let me cut you. Don't talk about Michael.
I love Michael, but he went crazy. I don't think he went crazy. He went crazy, but not in I won't say in a bad way, because we don't know his life and the things that he lived through. And, you know, look, if you have the money to turn your house into a Neverland rent or whatever you want to do, that's you. That's your home. That's your castle. That's whatever you want it to be. So I can't, you know, I can't dog him for that. I just meant with the whole white face, the skin. That's what I mean when I say crazy.
Oh, he has been like,
I always thought he was. I always thought he was good looking. So, so when he started changing,
you can't say nothing bad about him.
Yeah. I like the 80s.
What were some of your favorite parts of the book?
Well, I will say, I haven't finished Southern Comfort, but for Melina finding out who she is and what she does, I would say I really like, because it's kind of unexpected. I mean, I know with her background, it's like, I don't know, it seems like she doesn't seem like she would be what she is. Or does that make sense?
Right.
But I like the fact that she is. Yeah.
She's a badass lady.
Yeah. and I like that because she doesn't take anything. But, you know, and then she's very, very smart and tricky. Because you really have to be, I guess, to be an assassin. You have to kind of know your mark. Think ahead for what, you know, and anticipate what they're going to do. And it's like, because she knew what she was up to, you know, so I like that part. That she's kind of luring him out. But yeah, like I was all prepared to hate Garrison, but no, he did it.
Well,
You messed me up.
Didn't hate him at the end of this book. But then I got, you know, a lot of feedback. People were pissed at the ending. And you say, yep,
why? Okay. I'm asking why. You know,
no, I'm
not messing up for you.
I was here writing the ending scene. So I'll just leave that at that.
Okay.
But I did prepare you throughout the entire book from the beginning all the way to the end, what was going to happen. So you know what's going to happen. Don't blame me. That was the character of the story. And it just had to
And sometimes it just has to be that way. You know, I'm not going to get mad and throw the book across the room, but, you know.
You might.
I was going to that one book. That was when I read the Dumbledore die. I know, I should be showing myself.
Oh, wow.
I was like, no, come on. That's the only book I ever did. I was like, I'm through. But yeah.
Well, honey, I have gotten cussed out for this ending of this book. So
wow.
I warn you.
Okay, I'll prepare myself.
Reviews.
I mean,
they
love
the story, but then they get mad at the ending. So
it has to play out. So, like you said, I guess I'll have to be okay with that.
I hope you will. it is what it is. It's the world they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
That is true.
You just have to think of it as a different way, in a different way.
Yes. Because it's really not, because of what they're into and because of the mafia aspect, you really can't, you know, it's good. That's as good as it's going to get because of that life. You know, when you live that lifestyle, you can't expect, you know, the life expectancy of the average person is not as long as you would like it to be. So you got that from watching The Godfather.
Right.
That's when you get to know the character. Anybody can, you know, all
of a sudden
be gone.
Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Scarface. All of
yes. Yes, exactly. Life expectancy is not very long. If you're a drug dealer or any kind of organized crime, it's constantly looking over your shoulder. And
yeah,
I would hate to be at the top.
Take over his father and took his wife.
So it's like, well, it is what it is. But I think the first dark romance I read was probably V's book, The Irishman. And that's when I realized, I do like dark romance. I mean, I know you told me about what happened, but that was the first dark romance I got into.
I actually but then did enjoy
yeah.
the book. So.
Yeah. I really liked it.
Well.
Yes. They were good. I didn't finish his sister's book, but yeah, I did for both The Irish and the Irishman's Wife. And Sonia, when she came out with her Savant Brothers.
Oh, the Savant
really,
Brothers.
Yes.
Series.
Yes.
And if you ever get a chance, read Keita Kendrick's Twisted series. Secret. Oh, my God. The Twisted series is awesome.
Oh, okay.
And our first four books now are on audio book. In case you don't have time to read, you can listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are awesome. That's an awesome series. I love it.
Wow. See, now my list is getting longer again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing that down.
Oh,
I think I did.
I can give
yeah.
you one more. The Fearless series from Amory Avant. Oh, I fell in love with him. He's a MMA fighter, and his father is a Russian bratva. So,
oh, okay. The bratva.
And it ties into
okay.
the mafia that way.
Yeah,
really
that's
good.
That's a hardcore one right there.
Yeah,
you are in for life. That's it. Mm. Hey, what was the name of that one again?
The Fearless series.
The Fearless series.
It's three.
Okay.
I think it's three books. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Yeah, I got some catching up to do. See, now I can add yours to the list too, because it's yeah, this is right up there with my dark romances that I like.
Yep. Oh, Keita's is so good. Oh my God, where did she come up with this stuff?
I know, it's almost like I guess for me it's like watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt when I'm reading Southern Comfort and I think what was it? Honey Drip. I was reading that too. And it does.
Oh,
it plays
cool.
It kind of plays out like a movie.
That's
in my
good,
head, anyway.
Because that's how I see it in my head when I'm writing it.
Yeah,
especially
and yeah, you can
comfort.
See that.
I wrote out
mm-hmm.
the, like, I had my little, what they call the boards, storyboards.
Your storyboard.
The
uh-huh.
movies. Yeah. I could see it, and I could hear, like, the Quentin Tarantino, you know, music and weird music
yeah.
in the background and
uh-huh.
all of that, so.
Yeah, and you really can see, and that's how it was kind of playing out for me as I was reading it, and that's why I get into it, because it's like a movie
yeah.
in my head. So yeah,
and that's how
you did a good job with that.
Good, I'm glad it translated that way, because that's exactly what I was feeling.
Ah, awesome! Well, you did it. Because that's exactly how I was reading it. It's like a movie in my head, because it's just, you know, sometimes when you read, you want to, like, feel like you're a part of the story. But if you can picture mm-hmm. it in your mind and, like, you're actually going through. So when I'm reading a book that's in, like, the first person, I feel like I'm the character going through and
right.
doing, and I can identify with her emotions or whatever she's dealing with, or, you know, the main character is. But when you can watch it in your head as a movie, that's awesome. That's how people who don't read, they're like, how can you read? Because it's like watching TV. For the same reason you watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I
right.
can see it in my head, you know. And if the writer's really good, yeah, I have all the feelings and emotions, and, you know, people get mad at the ending and or crying when something happens to one of their characters, you know. I'm like, no, how could she do that? Because you get so into it. But that's what you want, though.
Mm-hmm.
You want readers to feel that way about your book. And in all of your books, you do that. I can identify with, and even from, you know, your earlier ones from Lunchtime Chronicles, Fresh Meat. Mm-hmm.
Bottoms Up.
That's Bottoms Up, the two favorites. Yes, especially, and because of Bottoms Up, I actually got to watch the show you were talking about.
Really?
Yeah, Below Deck or something like that. Yes.
How did you like
actually,
it?
I caught a couple of episodes. I'm like, oh my God, that's what she's talking. That crew was something else. So.
They crazy.
Yes. Because I mean, that was another, you know, it was like a whole new world for me. You know,
right. The yachting world.
And then I saw that. Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy. How they do these different things and go out, and it's all these preparations that they have to prepare. And I know I would probably get upset. They have to cater to these people who are just clueless
snotty.
And sometimes rude and snotty.
Entitled.
Seriously entitled. I was like, wow.
But that's the world they live in. Poor people don't ride on yachts. So.
No, we don't. Yeah. I've been on a ship, but I
you know, if you can afford to give a $30,000 tip for a weekend excursion,
thank you. Why would you want to pay
that's
that much
really
for a weekend?
Selling
but, you
know. People.
Exactly. It's like that's a lot of money just to drop for a weekend. But
right.
Wouldn't that be something?
For a tip. That's just
a
tip. Imagine
that's just
a
tip. That wasn't even
to charter the yacht.
Exactly. And it's probably it's cheaper, I've heard, than owning the yacht itself. Because you have to pay the crew, you have to pay for the fuel and maintenance on the boat and all of that. So I think it'll come out cheaper, like renting or going, you know, for a weekend instead of
owning
a yacht.
You use it.
You go, because it wouldn't justify the cost. Now, if I lived on a boat, that's a different story, too. But,
if I had the funds and I had a yacht right now in COVID, I would be on my yacht somewhere in the little water. Don't have to worry about these people.
I'll worry about, everybody on my little private island somewhere. You can't come. They are.
You will be able to find me. Make sure the crew has a COVID test and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I don't even need TV. A lot of books.
What TV? Shit, just sit out there and look into the ocean.
Right?
I'm craving the beach right now. I can't go.
Right? I know. I just got here with all the snow. So, that's been interesting.
Oh, you're in the snow area. I'm in the south.
Mm-hmm.
No snow here.
No, it's more like, I think a few years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago in Georgia. And it doesn't last long. It melts by the next day. But it was nice to see it for one day, but it was like, it's not heavy. But here, there's stuff. I mean, every day in the driveway, you have to put some stuff on the driveway to melt it off. It melts the snow so you can walk and not slip. So, people actually shoveling the sidewalk so you can see the sidewalk.
See, that would be me hibernating.
That's why I really don't come out the house. I think I only go out to check the mail. That's about it.
Get the mail. Let it pop.
Nope. We stocked up. We just been sitting inside. And he only goes out just for therapy appointments. Other than that, we just chilling. Just keep going. I don't even feel like trying to get on the sled. I mean, it looks like it's fun, but still. I'm like, I'll be the first one to get out there.
Younger.
Bust my butt.
Girl, I'm too old for those sleds, girl.
Forget the snowboarding. I don't think so. Skis messed me up. That was enough. Have you ever tried to ski?
No and no. I am not getting up on no mountain, flying downward with nothing to catch me. No, thank you.
I know, right? I was like, this is the easy
and it's cold.
No, this is
yes. I don't do cold.
but when that sun is out, it's really bright. And the sun hitting off of that white snow, it's blinding. You really do have to wear shades. Mm-hmm.
Jet ski is more my speed.
Yes. And,
give me some water.
And chap lips. Mm-hmm.
Water in the sun.
Yeah, it's more my speed.
I don't do the cold too well.
It's fun though sometimes. So tell us a little bit about Honey Dripper.
Oh, okay.
How'd you come up with
Honey
that
Dripper.
One?
That one was fun. Grant Mingo is a bookstore owner and MC member of Motorcycle Club.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in his secret life, writes romance. But he doesn't want his MC to know that he is a romance writer, so he gives himself a pseudonym of a female. And so that
I've heard men doing that.
That it's him. So it's Samantha Mones is his name that he writes under. And that came from my my favorite character on Sex and the City. I love Lisa Samantha, so
yes.
I gave her a little nod there.
Okay.
So the love interest in the book for him is Miss Ruby, mm-hmm. and she is the biggest fan of his writing. She just thinks it's a female. You know, she's a romance avid reader. And she is chasing his latest book, and she supposedly finds it in his bookstore over the phone. But when she arrives, the book is not there, and Miss Ruby is not happy. And she goes off on the clerk, and he comes out to, you know, to rectify the situation. He comes out, talks to her, because he sees her on the security footage, and he's like, oh, who is this woman? I have to meet her. So he comes out with an autographed book, and in order for her to get the book, he doesn't want money. He just wants her to promise to come to a made-up book club meeting at the store. And that's his way of getting her to come back and him being alone with her. So he sets up a big thing for her to come in for the book club, and she comes excited to talk about the book, but they're the only two members in the club.
Oh, wow.
And he convinces her to stay, and they have their first date, and it gets hot and heavy from there. So then she finds out, of course, he keeps the secret that he's, you know, the writer, because he can't tell anybody under his contract.
Right.
That Samantha Mones is a man. So
it does sound like a name
of a man. But the truth eventually comes out. Yeah. It gets a little deeper after that. But of course, you know, have the hot scene.
Yes, most definitely. So I saw one of your postings about it. What's this about wig snatching? I haven't read that part. I was like, where's that at?
Well, on their first date, okay, she comes in. She's got this red, sexy red dress, and she has on a wig. And he's like, oh, she looks different. What's going on? And he, when they're getting hot and heavy and into the sex, he realizes that it's not her hair, it's a wig. And he doesn't like it. He's like, what is this thing? Take it off. And she's like, what? And he snatches it and throws it across the room. So that was my little comedy part that I put in there. I was cracking up when I wrote it. So I hope it translates that way in the book.
Well, that almost
Grant is a wig snatcher.
Yeah, wig snatch. Okay, that makes sense. Like, something new. And he's like, "Can you take this off?" He's pulling her hair. She's like, "What? What do you mean? This? Can you take
right.
this off? It's not your hair. I want to see your hair."
Right. Like, but off.
Yeah.
It's in the way.
I want to see the real you. The snatching, that was.
No, he's trying to fool it. You know? It's
yeah,
way,
it's like,
you know?
Yeah, if it was a sewing, you're in trouble.
But you know, a sister ain't trying to, yeah, nobody up in her hair.
No.
Pulling on the wig either.
Exactly. I was like, we don't even like people touching the hair, so which he actually just
right.
snatches it. So.
But it turns out good for him.
Well, yeah.
That was the fun part. I had a little comic relief in there.
I haven't got to that yet, Sarah. I was going to... I said, well, let me ask about that because I saw that. And I was like...
Well, when you get around to it, let me know if you like that part.
You're right. Fall out now. Like, no, he's been snatching wigs. Is he still walking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he just snatched the wig. I don't understand that, though. So this
but
is
Grant
the,
was the no he's yeah. the no nonsense type of dude. He knows what he wants. He goes straight for it. He don't play games. He don't want no extra, no bells and whistles. He just wants his moment. He claimed her from the first time he saw her.
Now, see, I like that. That's awesome. You know what you want. A lot of people do not know what they want. So the fact that he's like so straightforward, I like that. It's really cool.
Oh, and the little twist in here is that he's American, but he spent like his formative years in London. So he has a slight British accent.
Oh, accent. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I saw his picture, the guy, the cover model, I was just like, he looks like he should be British. So I had to come up with a backstory on how he became, how he had a British accent. Because I knew he was American.
Yeah.
But I wanted him to have that accent so bad.
Yeah, my late husband, he was born and raised here in the United States, but he spent 8 years, you know, with his family's military in England. So he picks up the Cockney accent. And
no.
So it's kind of, he's this beautiful dark skinned man with this Cockney accent. It's just, that's the first dream. I'm like, whoa. But he said he got made of a lot, you know, people made fun of him when he came back to the States because he was just a kid. And his teenage years when he came back. So, yeah, so.
Oh, that should have gotten him many
teenager. Dates. Right, but for some reason, it didn't. We just got teased a lot because it was the Cockney where they don't say the whole sound with the words.
Okay.
It's not the proper English. It's more of the lazy, what you doing,
okay.
You know, just, yeah, it's kind of, but I like it, but, you know. I guess they could
like
be off putting.
Like on the show with love.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't the proper British English, but it's that talking. Yeah, you know, depending on the, because the area is like, I think it's like Liverpool or something like that.
Okay.
And but where the base was, they could go from the base and hang out in just areas, and that's probably one of them. They're laid back. Yeah, not proper at all. He spent much time there that. He just picked that up.
Oh, one other point I wanted to tell you about Honey Tripper. One of the characters in the book is named Deidre, and she is like she's Ruby's BFF, but I named her after one of my readers. And I tell you the reason, for Tennessee's Whiskey, I picked up a new reader. Her name is Deidre.
Oh.
And she called me on Facebook. She left me, I don't know how many messages, and she was laughing and enjoying that book so much. Every time she liked something, she would call me. And she was just so, she made my day so many times. I was like, I have to go.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I even made her like a little meme with her voice message on it. And I post it from time to time. But she's hilarious and funny, and she's been a avid reader of mine ever since she read Tennessee's Whiskey. She went back and read all my back catalog.
Oh yeah,
read everything I've released since then, and I'm like, oh my god, I love this lady.
Yes, serious fan. She really loves.
But
yeah.
She just doesn't do that with just me. She does that with all IR authors. Everybody she reads that she likes. She picks you up. She reads you. She shouts you out. She's going to post something. She's going to call you. She's going to let you know if she loved it or she didn't like it, what's going on. I absolutely love her.
That is awesome.
So I wanted to give her a shout out.
No, definitely. So I hope you're listening. It was like you put that little tag, you tag her on it. So I'll advertise and you can add her tag to it or tag her with it.
Cool.
So that way she'll know to listen for her. So that's pretty cool. I like that. And see, you're always this very down to earth person that, you know, that's like stuff like this. You know, other people who are so full of themselves wouldn't even say anything. But the fact that you are just who you are, you know. That's what I liked about you when I first met you. I was like, wow.
You don't take that for granted. When somebody enjoying something you write.
Exactly.
I've been fighting all these years to get it out into the world. I'm right. with someone who likes it.
Someone who's like definitely following you now because of, you know, something they read or they like something that you wrote, and it's just
right.
And you have those, yeah. Those are cool. That's what you want.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
You can write for yourself, but you know, if somebody really likes it, they really like it. That's why if I really like something, I'll say something.
50 more just like her.
There you go. See, you'll be have people bombarding you. I had one lady sent me a Christmas card this year that I met in one of the takeovers, and she's like, "Can I send you a Christmas card?" I'm like, sure.
Oh.
She wrote this sweet note. I'm like, oh my goodness. It was my first time having anyone send me anything. It does. It's like, oh, you know, because it makes you feel special. Like, you know, wow. She really enjoys my books. And she was telling me about things that she liked. And I think it was a contest. She got one of my books for free. And then I think another time she won an Amazon gift card. And she's just like, you're just so sweet. And I just like your books. And she was just going on. I was like, okay, thank you.
Destiny. Hey, Stephanie. Girl, you know me. I can't hear. My bad.
That's all right.
But yeah, you love stuff like that. And I remember when I was coming up, authors were like celebrities to me because, you know, we read. That's what we do. So
exactly.
If my favorite author had said hi to me, I would have probably passed out. So
mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah.
Huge fan girl.
Because you feel like you know them by reading their work, you know, their,
mm-hmm.
you know, their writing style, and you can tell when it changes because that's how in tune you are to the actual author. And you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you swear by their work because it's like, this is what you really like about them, and you can tell when they shift and do different things with the characters. So, yeah. That's why I tell you, you said you were like totally out of your, you know, comfort zone when you wrote your first paranormal, but you knocked that out of the park. So.
What?
I was like, what is she talking about? This is good. What does she mean?
I still am uncomfortable with paranormal.
But you did it. I mean, it was like.
Yeah, I did.
Like, who is she kidding? She knows how to write paranormal. You got it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah. No problem. So you did it. So I was nervous about my fairy tale, but it came out pretty good. So I'm happy.
Oh.
It was my first time writing a sweet kind of romance.
Okay.
Because I'm usually a little more, yeah, a little more erotic with it. But yeah. Now I'll say second. Cause
yeah.
You haven't read The Desert Flower yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, no, girl, you're busy popping out books. What you talking
about? I have it. I told you, my Kindle is full.
Yeah.
I have it.
You have not had time. So, because you popped up those books left and right. I was like, what? Did she write like every minute? How did she even have time to say hello?
That's why I had a break. A month. I was like, I need something. Oh, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah. Because you're always doing something. I was like, because every time you post always something, I was like, that's why we don't hear from her, because she's busy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pop up with a new book that came out.
I know, I joined your
like,
group, and I was
she
like,
that
put me out of this group.
No, because you keep putting them out. You're like what everyone else wants to be, you know?
I am never in
Yeah. No, that's just a sign of being busy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
so,
for
those of you just joining us and just tuning in, we're talking with author Elle Loren and about her stories from Lunchtime Chronicles and as well as her other books, which she has put out 12 this year. But so you've like probably definitely in the 20s, close to 30s by now, how many books you've written. And that's amazing. That's really awesome. And the fact that a lot of her books have become number one bestsellers like right out the gate. So, yes.
And, most you definitely. Know, that just started happening this year.
Yes.
So I am, like, so crazy right now. Like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
But it started with Bottoms Up.
Bottoms
and
Up.
From there,
it was well
just about everyone.
No. Fat Ash was number one last year, too. You had him as number one bestseller.
No, it didn't hit number one. Fat Ash hit number two.
Oh, okay.
It was number two. It never hit number one.
Okay. I think it was one before that, but you're right. Yeah. Because after that, So it's like, I think that's a trend that's going to, you know, steadily continue. Because that you're, everything you put out. Now, I haven't read everything. It's amazing, but I haven't read everything. But I'm still trying to finish the historical. When I do get some quiet time to work on it, though. So, yeah. But yeah, I think that's a trend that continues with you, because
I gotta work on my list for next year. Oh my God, I'm trying not to have that many as I had this year, but I don't know.
I know I'm bringing an analogy next year. Empire. So, and villains again. So,
okay.
Two more to work on. But I think we'll have a cover release next month for the vampire one, and actually, it's me on the cover, but it's representing Dominique Leroy. But it's her early years in Paris, so yeah. So I'm going. It's a prequel coming back.
That's gonna be good.
Yes. So I like it. I'll do.
Are you gonna do another one with the serial killer, but the cops, in Atlanta, where the kids are being abducted? Mahogany, I can't hear you now.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Southern Comfort by best-selling author L. Loren. Garrison Daniels is on the run after a failed attempt to murder his brother and overthrow his father as boss of the Enterprise faction. Knowing his days are numbered, why would he be in a mansion filled with his father's deadliest associates? One word, Melina. She was getting married, but knew Garrison could never resist disrupting the ceremony. Melina is Enterprise's top assassin, and the wedding, just a ruse to draw out her mark. She's always been Garrison's ride or die. What happens when the sentiment becomes reality? Southern Comfort, a smooth, sweet, and 100-proof interracial erotic romance. Part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Written by best-selling author L. Loren. Get your copy on Amazon today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silvering at mahoganysilvering.net. Thank you and good night.